It's the story of an American held in a dark Venezuelan prison.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
I'm Becky Bruce. I spent a year working on Hope in Darkness, which now has more than 2 million downloads. Find it on KSLpodcast.com or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Good morning. Welcome back to the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning, along with Brian Lloyd from Olson's Greenhouse. We are broadcasting from the greenhouse this morning. And Brian, I don't think most people know by now that you provide plants, perennials, and annuals for Home Depot, Walmart, and Costco. But they may not know that you actually have employees in those stores.
Yeah, so we're a local grower, and we employ a lot of people here in the greenhouses. You know, we have locations throughout the state, actually. We have three different spots where we grow the flowers, and we employ a couple hundred employees at those locations. But then we employ over 500 employees out in the stores that we sell to. So most people don't realize that it takes a lot of work to take care of bedding plants, even in the retail environment for the couple weeks while they're there waiting for you to come buy them. And so we have employees that work full-time out in Home Depot and Walmart, helping those stores to take care of the bedding plants, to do the watering, displaying, and just general upkeep and care and keeping of those flowers while they're waiting to sell. And we're hiring this time of year. So if you're looking for a great start into the horticulture industry, there's no better start than to either work part-time or full-time for Olson's Greenhouse. And the company that we run that through is a sister company called ProGrow Partners. So you can go to ProGrowPartners.com and find more information about all the hiring that we're doing for store employees right now.
I really like how you care about the plant after it leaves your greenhouse, making sure that people have the best quality plant that's going to really do well in their yard or in their containers.
Yeah, we all know that the retail environment can be kind of a stressful place for plants. It's hot out on the sidewalks, on the front of a store setting, and they need regular watering and things like that. And so in order for you to have the best success in your yard, you have to plant a healthy plant. And so we've been doing this for over 25 years. We've been out in stores taking care of those flowers for our customer, Home Depot and Walmart, so that you as the end consumer can have a great quality plant in your yard.
So today, if somebody walks into Home Depot, Walmart, Costco, what are they going to see?
We've got all sorts of selection right now of the cool season plants that can take a frost, as well as those transitional plants we talked about at the beginning of the show, things that can take a frost every once in a while but are perfect to plant right now, especially in containers where you can protect them if we get down in the 20s. So things like petunias, calibrachoas, alyssums, snapdragons, all those things are great bedding plants to plant right now.
All right. Well, we appreciate you having us out to the greenhouse.
Well, thanks for being here.
Where we can see all the beautiful containers. It feels like we're getting ready for Mother's Day, right?
It's
got
so
all
beautiful.
All the containers in bloom. And
we've got millions of plants out here just coming into bloom, as well as in full bloom going out to stores as we speak.
All right. Let's go back to our listeners. Ton, our next listener, Carol, would like some suggestions from you for small flowering trees. She's talking 10 to 15 tall. She lives in Clearfield, northwest location, and kind of sandy soil.
So there are some weeping crab apples that would be really pretty that will have red blossoms or pink blossoms or white, depending. And there's also some other dwarf crab apples that will fit in those. And most garden centers will have those. Then there are some weeping cherries. Double weeping cherry is one. There's another pink version of it.
Mm-hmm.
Then a rose of Sharon tree that's been grafted and trained up into a tree would work.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's also forsythia that's been trained like that. And if it was a little bit more filtered shade location, sometimes you can find some hydrangea trees. And I'm a little cautious on those because sometimes they don't overwinter, but people kind of like them. But I would more stick along the line of the flowering crab apples, flowering cherry, or rose of Sharon.
All right. Next listener wants to know if you have a suggestion for a tulip tree.
What kind of suggestion do they want?
They just want to know what species or recommendations.
Well, they get big, 50 feet high and wide.
Oh,
and
this is
so
a small area, so maybe they want something smaller.
There is a columnar tulip tree out there that is difficult to find, but it'll still get, you know, 40 feet tall, but it'll stay more narrow. And so they would have this tall tree that's narrow there, but I don't know of any dwarf tulip trees.
Okay, well, she's trying to get away from her neighbor's invasive cameras. So, but she has a smaller area. Do you have any?
I could have so much fun with that.
Don't do it. Don't do it. Okay. Any other suggestions for something that might be like a tulip tree that would be a little smaller?
Well, a magnolia. It would take years to grow is the problem, but a saucer magnolia has a nice creamy pink flower in the spring and will get 15 to 20 feet. And so they're related, but I actually think the saucer magnolia has a prettier flower, but it would be 20 years before it covered anything. And so she might want to more look at maybe something like a Quanzon cherry that would give her spring blossoms and still block some of the cameras out. Or some of the other cherries, like the red leaf cherries, a Schubert's cherries would be another one that she could look at.
Okay.
So there's quite a few
varieties.
Things. Yeah, especially that Schubert will grow a couple of feet a year. It's a red leaf. It does get some root suckers that would have to be pruned back, but that would give her the quickest shade for a smaller tree.
All right, let's go to Margaret in Kearns. Good morning, Margaret. What was your question?
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, go right ahead.
Okay. I just put in three garden boxes that are 4 feet by 8 feet long, and I used the yellow bag soil, which has compost and stuff in it. And I have a bunch of perlite that I thought I would mix in there. Can you tell me the difference between perlite and vermiculite?
Yeah, vermiculite, and Brian, you could chime in here too, seeing your greenhouse background. But vermiculite is going to be, they're very similar in use, but vermiculite's going to have less dust. And it's more, when you squeeze it, it's going to compress a little bit. It's not that you'll be doing that in your bed. The perlite, I don't like as much because when you irrigate, it has a tendency to float up. And then when you handle it, there's lots of dust. And so I prefer to work with vermiculite. But perlite, as far as what they're used for, are either of them are just fine.
Okay. And do either of them provide any nutrient value?
None. They hold on to nutrients as you put fertilizer and things in. They will hold lightly onto nutrients and it'll keep them in the soil and they'll be available to your plants, but they have no inherent nutrient value on their own.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you so much. Oh, when we get these annuals from Home Depot or wherever, don't they need to be, they need to sit close to the house or
hardened off
somewhat. Hardened off, thank you. Yes.
Maybe Brian could address that a little bit.
Yeah, it depends, but for the most part, the answer to your question is no, they don't. We're a local grower, and so we're growing these plants, even though they come from a greenhouse environment. We're shipping in plants that are good to plant this time of year, and so they're typically acclimated for the soil or for your yard. Now, it depends on what types of forecast we're getting. If we're getting an abnormally late frost or something like that, they may need to be protected from those types of things. But for the most part, they've been growing in our climate at our light levels in the same valley that you're growing them in, and so they're ready to go pretty much.
Wonderful. Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks for your call this morning. And the number to call, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. We'll be right back.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you this morning. We are with Brian Lloyd this morning at Olson's Greenhouse. And Brian, I just had to put up on social media, just it's so cool to watch these different baskets rotate like on these conveyor belts. How many times a day does that happen?
Well, it happens when they get watered, so just once per day. And we do maintenance that way and we pull the orders that way. But we grow all these hanging baskets up 12 to 14 feet in the air above all of our crops on the ground. And so the only way to reach and access each of those plants is on a ski lift. So it's actually called a boomerang because they go around and come back. But they're on this system that each line is on a system that rotates around to the greenhouse. And then the reason for that mostly is because we can water it on one side of the greenhouse, and all that water that drips out at the bottom of the hanging basket mm-hmm. doesn't get onto the crop below it and grow. It would grow a line of plants at an abnormally fast rate, you know, with that extra fertilizer that they would get. So we want to keep that drip off the crop below so the crop grows uniformly. So it's a little bit technical, but it's just kind of a cool way thing that you can get mesmerized just watching the plants move around.
I had to film it. I'm like, oh, I'm on the radio. I can't stop and film now. But during the break, of course, that's what I did. How do you decide what you're going to plant? I mean, you're planting millions of plants. How do you decide the coolest thing and what people are going to be interested in every year?
Well, first of all, we spend a lot of time looking for new genetics and things coming out, whether they have a different flower color or a different habit or performance or way that they grow and interact with each other when they grow in combinations with different flowers. So we have a whole department of people that go out and search for these plants and then bring them back and trial them in different settings, both in a production setting as well as out in a trial bed outdoors. So we're making sure that these are plants that will perform in our climate. So we're a local grower that makes sure that the plants that we grow are going to give you success out in your homes. So that's the first stage. But then from there, it's just a matter of consumer tastes and habits, and we're constantly modifying. If something doesn't sell well one year, if a color or a type of flower doesn't sell as well as we hoped, then we'll change that out and grow something a little bit different that did sell well that we maybe ran out of a little bit too early. So it's a constant modification.
But you are continuously looking at new varieties, trialing them. So, and you're just not relying on somebody else to tell you. Olson's tests everything to make sure that it's suited for our climate.
Yeah, us and me and myself and our grower team, we get to kind of travel the world and look at the breeders of these plants and see what they're coming up with. I was just in Israel last. It was pre-COVID was my last trip, unfortunately. Normally, I get to go several times a year. And we were in Israel because you wouldn't know this, but Israel has a very similar winter climate to our summer climate. It's very dry, very hot and warm. So it's very similar to Utah in the winter, and that's perfect timing for us. So they get to trial plants in the winter, and we can see how it will perform in the upcoming summer for us. So a lot of our breeding work actually comes from Danziger, which is the breeder name, out in Israel. And this is where we found the Amore petunia that has the heart shape in the petal, in every petal. So it's a bicolor petunia that has heart shapes. And so the flower color is unique and cool, right? But we got to make sure that it grows well in our beds in Utah. And so that's why we love breeders like Danziger that have breeding work that's done in a similar climate to us.
Well, and you can find all of the plants that are grown at Olson's Greenhouse at Home Depot, Walmart, and Costco. Let's go back to our phone lines. We have Annette waiting patiently. Good morning, Annette. How can we help you this morning?
Morning. I have a Gravenstein, I believe is how you pronounce it, apple tree that I planted about 8 years ago. And I've never received any blossoms. It's about 2 inches in diameter. It gets leaves, but I've never got any blossom. Now, I did measure this morning, and it's about 11 and a half feet from a cherry tree. Could that be causing the problem, or
no,
am I just not being patient enough?
Cherries don't have it out for apple trees, and there's really no reason the cherry would impact the blossoming. Gravenstein is an heirloom apple, and especially if it's on a seedling rootstock or certain rootstocks, they oftentimes can take 15 to 20 years before you see any apples.
Oh, okay.
And so a lot of it depends on the rootstock it was grafted to, and I don't imagine you still have any receipts or anything that may specify that.
No. Okay. No, I got it from greenhouse, what's it called? Valley, no. It's up by Brigham City, not Brigham City, not that far. It's up towards Logan, or not okay. Logan, Ogden.
Yeah, so there's several garden centers through there, but it's going to be less important. But a lot of times, these heirlooms aren't as common anymore for reasons like this, to where something might take 15 or 20 years before it produces any apples. The best dessert and cooking apple out there is called Northern Spy. And the reason it isn't more common, even on some of our what are called precocious rootstocks, it'll take 15 to 20 years before you ever see an apple, and most people just aren't that patient. So I imagine that's what's going on. And now, heavy pruning would also cause it to not blossom. So has somebody been giving it severe haircuts every year?
I didn't trim it at all except for little dead branches off of it.
Okay.
Last year, I probably, when I first got it, I may have trimmed it severely because I was trying to get it into a nicer shape.
Yeah. And so if it's been a few years.
As a general rule, I haven't done much.
Okay. So if it's been a few years since that happened, it may start to produce some blossoms. All you can do if you want to hold on to it is be patient or tear it out and put another tree in.
Oh, I hate to do that after all this time. Is there something? I have been fertilizing it with the fruit stakes. Do you think it's better to do the pellety kind, you know,
and yes.
dig it into the soil? You like that better or the stakes?
So we're getting close to a break, so we're going to have to wrap up. But just briefly, fertilize the tree with 2000 or lawn fertilizer. I'm not a huge fan of those tree stakes, so.
Oh, okay. So lawn fertilizer. Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your call this morning. We need to take a break for the top of the hour news. When we come back, we are at Olson's Nursery. We're going to be talking about best ways to plant your containers. I know you're excited about that. We'll be right back.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.